and we're good to go. It's Fairfield County Live and Local. My name is John Kamal from 95.9 The Fox. I almost said an old sponsor's name. Sorry about that.
Not yourself.
But it's Fairfield County Live and Local. My name is John Kamal from 95.9 The Fox, and I'm hanging out with Terrapin.
Hello. Terrapin,
how is the collective Terrapin doing?
Awesome.
Smoking.
Good. Let's get some names before we get to the ticket link. We have Jeff, we have Paul, we have Milo, and we have JP. And this is most of you, but it's not everybody. How many people in the band altogether?
There are seven in total. So the band has kind of grown interestingly over the years. At first we had just a core of four of us and then a fifth, and then we added a backup singer along the way. And then we decided, what, how long ago, JP, maybe a year and a half ago or 2 years ago, Aaron joined, we added a second percussionist. We didn't want to do the two drum thing like the Dead did, because it's really, I mean, he'll tell you his story, but he's played in a number of Dead bands, and that's a good thing to have, but it's also super, hard to do the right way. And we had this vibe going. And so we added a percussionist instead, more like the Santana thing. And it's worked out great. So that's the compliment.
Two drums is tough, man. I've only done it once. And it was great because the guys knew what they were doing. But I mean, God help you if you have someone who doesn't know exactly what's going on.
Well, I've been fortunate. I've played with a lot of really great players who've done it really well. I think, from the two drummer perspective, I think we really looked at it from more of like differentiation and like, what do you bring new to the music? If you look at Dead & Co now and any of the bands that are out there, Mickey's really doing more percussion work. He's not hitting the bass drum anymore. It's really more decorative. The sound's getting a little more progressive in that way. So I think the opportunity for us to bring in a percussionist kind of set along this like, okay, we can do it, but we can still do it our way and figure it out. So it kind of really... it changed the dynamic where you can lock in the groove as a drummer and add this extra like element, high tones, low tones, and the percussion. That's a lot of fun, actually.
It's kind of like J-Mo and the Allman Brothers, man. Like at this point, like he's really just doing accents. You see him, and sometimes it looks like he's barely moving. He's doing stuff.
Oh, yeah. But J-Mo's a phenomenal jazz guy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So how long have you guys been around? When did the band start?
Officially started on Super Bowl Sunday, 2013.
13, right.
Yeah. So right. Paul and I have known each other for, now over 20 years. We worked together, actually, back in the late 90s. And
third of the century, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. But we hadn't been in touch. And then he had posted this Facebook post of
you posted a picture.
Oh, did I?
In the basement saying, this is me at 16 years old playing Ico Ico. I'm like, dude. I got the same picture.
You had hair.
You said, then you must be good. We should jam. And I'm like, jam? Jesus Christ. I'm getting too old to jam. Let's get together and do some songs or something like that. Right. And it took us a while. And then I think Jeff said, let's do this or let's forget about it. Something like
that. Okay, well, if we're gonna do this, let's do it seriously. My kids were older at that point, John. I met JP, believe it or not, even earlier. We had played in a bunch of stuff together, sort of just figuring out if there was something to do. And I was fooling around with a couple of different kind of ensembles, and JP was part of that. And then when this thing came along, it was like Paul and I had instant, karma, and bam, we were like, all right, let's do this, do it the right way. And we set our ground rules from day one. And then, and that's the rest of the story. I mean, we've had a couple of personnel changes over the years, and for the most part, the core of the team hasn't changed.
So who is the core? Who's the core of the squad here?
Well, you're looking at the three of us. We're technically the founders of the company, right? So we actually treat it like a business. We have an LLC and do all the things you would do normally, and we actually take it very seriously. And then we've brought in, our Rick, who is our bass player, has been really with us, honestly, since day two. We had an original bass player that made it one gig, and then 200 whatever gigs later, he's still with us, and we consider him obviously part of the core, but he's not an official member of the LLC for his own reasons. And he's, and so, but he's, you know, everybody is part of the family here. And then we, you know, along the way, we met Milo. We had another female singer with us for a few years, Ams Palmieri, who was great. And she's now recently married and doing some of her own stuff. And Milo came our way through a bunch of connections, and she's been amazing. And we are, like, not only excited to have her, but, like, we're fortunate because, one, she's got a great voice, and two, she's been an awesome member. So she's just getting used to what we're all about.
Milo, what's it like to join a band that's, like, you know, that has such a core? What's it like to come in as the new person, I guess?
Well, of course it's a little intimidating at first, just like any first impression, but especially knowing how I've known about their band Terrapin for years, and I know how serious they take it and how serious the community takes them. So it was a bit intimidating, but I'll never forget when I first walked in, the day my first, like, audition, rehearsal, getting to know everybody, all those nerves just, like, they shut immediately because they're just such good guys, and they've been so, so welcoming and taking, you know, we have weekly rehearsals, but here and there, you know, I'll meet with different guys and we'll get together and just go through more things. Just, they're just so willing to do whatever I need to be comfortable. And they're also very, very fun. So putting that all together, intimidating at first, but these guys have just welcomed me with open arms. And I, as you said, you feel fortunate to have me. I feel incredibly, incredibly fortunate to have you guys and to be a part of this. It's been so awesome.
Well, and what about you guys? What's it like, you know, getting a new member in?
Yeah.
What's it like, you know, getting that person started and up to speed?
It depends on the person, right? Like, you know, when Milo comes in, I think she came in with the chops. So it's a matter of really just kind of getting into the rhythm of what the practice schedule is and, like, what the song lists are. I mean, we've got a lot of material. We've been playing for a long time. We have a lot of songs. So there's a lot of learning, but it's like, you know, what Milo said, it's like, you know, you just take the patience. If the work is there to be done and the person's got the right mentality, it's easy. You just fit in and you take the time to do it. And, you know, Milo's fit like a glove. It's been great.
Yeah. And John, I think the question is, what's it like bringing in someone like a Milo versus auditioning a bunch of folks? And we've done that too. And that's much more stressful and sort of weird, you know, at the same time. Yeah. But with Milo, there was history there. I had played in another configuration with Milo in a different band. And so it was an easy sort of a transition right in.
I'll just add, John, that it's one of those things, like, anytime you have a new configuration, we have a new keyboard player too, Chuck Chesler, who's, you know, very accomplished musician on the Connecticut scene, does his original stuff through his band, is done some pretty interesting things. You're always going to go through a period of transition. It's just natural, right? As much as we've played together, that's why having the core group of us, the four of us, and then Aaron on the percussion side, but the four of us, me, Rick, JP, and Paul, we've been playing so long together, we can literally play blindfold and know exactly where people are going to be, right? So that's a structure. Anytime you add new parts to that, it's always a different dynamic, and you just have to get used to what that means. So, you know, we've worked together. I've worked with Milo on the side on vocal stuff. We take our vocals incredibly serious. For a Grateful Dead, you know, powered band, we now have our own originals and some really cool stuff that we're experimenting with. And we don't play exclusively Dead. We have a bunch of covers. But in a Grateful Dead configuration, I think one of the things that's really interesting is that most of the bands out there, there's a lot of them, probably 1,000 Grateful Dead cover bands. Also,
so many more than that. There's so many.
I actually think vocals matter, like really matter, right? And I think
that absolutely. I'm sorry. Continue with that, because I 100% agree. I've said this for years.
Yeah, and Paul and I, when we talked about this, I was like, that was the one thing I was stuck on. I'm like, if we're gonna do this, let's make sure that we treat it as important as any other instrument, because it is. And honestly, just think about your experiences. You go to a place, you know, you go to a show, you know the music, you're familiar with, you want to be able to sing the music. And if it doesn't matter how good the guitar player is. I've never said I'm the greatest guitar player in the world. I think I'm okay, and I can replicate what we do, and I have my own little thing. But we're all good musicians. But if the vocals stink, you go, something's off, right? And I didn't think that was really, I thought it was really important that we didn't let that happen. So when Milo joins, or a Rick, who's a Berklee School of Music grad, right? We can actually treat the vocals extremely professionally. And that to me is, that's a process. So to get back to the original question, that just takes time. And it's, you know, we've been doing this now for what, 6 months, Milo? And I think it's starting to really gel.
And that's one of the main reasons why I was so excited and so eager to be a part of you guys, because I got some hand percussion, I fiddle around the drums, but my vocals are my instrument. So to be going in, and I've also been in many other Grateful Dead configurations, and it's been wonderful, but to finally be in a place with a band where vocals are taken so seriously, it's very exciting for me. And the way that they just structure everything and again, take it seriously, it's just phenomenal.
That's, I think, the missing link with so many bands that are out there, especially on the festival scene, because there is kind of this preconceived notion that you can get away with not really having good vocals if you've got good instrumentation. And you can, to a degree. I mean, the Disco Biscuits have done great, but my wife's mad at me for that joke. She loves that band. But you look at the bands that are really coming up now, even just in Connecticut. I mean, you've got Goose, obviously, who has great vocals. Eggy, has done so much, has done such incredible work just with their harmonies, watching them live now.
Just
absolutely killing. Good vocals is the key. And that explains why Milo is now a member of the group.
Now, John, let me tell you.
That's right. Hey, listen, we have played together before too, like once, or I think once or twice with Terrell.
Acoustic with
yeah.
Oh my goodness, Terrell. That was good fun.
Terrell, if you're watching, I miss you, bro. Come back up to Bridgeport.
I miss you too. I was just talking to him. I'll tell him you miss him.
Oh, awesome. So this is a loaded question, but I have to ask it, and there it's. Why the Dead?
I think that's a different question for everybody on this.
Well, podcast. I was going to say that's I'm sure everyone has their own different answer, but I guess what is it about the Dead that does inspire so many? Do you guys prefer tribute act, cover? What's the nomenclature?
Call us what you like.
Personally, I don't like either of them. I think
fair enough.
I think there's nothing wrong with them, but our intention has never been to be a cover band or a tribute. It's to be an interpretation, right?
For us,
and this is my answer, and then you guys can get whatever you want. But my answer is, look, the Dead, why the Dead? One, obviously we're all fans, right? It's you have to start from the fan. And I was fortunate enough, and I know multiple people on this call were fortunate enough to see a lot of shows. I saw 150 plus shows, from 1979 through when I stopped in 92 was my last show. And so one, I love the music. Two is there's something exceptional about the freedom and the spirituality that come together with this music, right? It's jazz, but it's not jazz. It's interpretable, but it's not. But because at the end of the day, what does the Dead bring? They bring unbelievable melodies, incredible songwriting, right? Unbelievable lyrics, and in my opinion, Americana through and through, right? Yeah. So if you take all those aspects and you say, okay, the Dead in their best form were a giant cover band as well, right? They covered the American landscape of music from the 1800s through, when they stopped.
Right.
And anybody, they had their own interpretations. They took with it what they thought, and then they made it their own. That's what we're trying to do, and that's why we do it. It gives us freedom, gives us creativity, and it allows us to exist on a plane that allows us to be our own, what we're good at. That's why the term cover band, yeah, of course we're a cover band. Are we a tribute band? Of course, because we're attributing it to the band that comes before us. But we do our own interpretations in many cases.
Yeah.
But we keep the spirit of what they did, I think, which was to have freedom in the music. And Garcia used to say, you're constantly chasing the perfect interpretation. You'll never get there, right? So I feel if you're not improvising constantly, you're not taking the risk.
I think freedom is the key. And I want to hear everyone else's thoughts, but I think that the reason that there are so many, dead bands is because you can't have like a Van Halen cover band and do your own thing with it. People are going to lose their minds. No one's going to want to go see you. With the dead, it's like, dude, whatever. Like, you want to do like the fast deal? You want to do like, the slow, people call it the West Coast deal. You can do that. You can do your own thing with it. It does not matter. You can turn it into reggae and people just love it. It's so open-ended. And that freedom, Jeff, that you were talking about really is there. But sorry, continue. Cause I do. I'm interested in this.
Yeah. I mean, I'll take it. I was in a bunch of original bands doing original tunes and with a bunch of other deadheads. And we used the dead as a way to kind of explain what we were trying to do with the original tunes. And for that reason, we kind of got hooked on it. And then when, fast forward a number of years, I ended up in dead bands and just doing purely dead because we dispensed with the originals and was like, all right, let's really just try to do this stuff as best we can and get into it. Because once you can do the like top level of a dead tune, anybody can play Deal, right? But then to get the details and then get the real details down to the fine bits, because it's those little licks that, go off in your mind like, aha, these guys know what they're doing. That takes work. That takes a lot of study. And, once you get down there, it's bliss, right? I mean, we really enjoy it.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And I'll just jump back to what you were saying, the freedom. And really what draws me so much to the dead is that freedom and that just kind of like unconditional acceptance of who you are, what you want to sound like, even just at dead shows, dance how you want. Everyone's accepted. Everyone's loved. And I really love that there's almost like the dead, like holds a lot of space for your own interpretation and for your own, what's the word I'm looking for? Really, yeah, I guess for your own perspective, interpretation, and the fact that, one song can, like 10 different people can take it a completely different ways. I just think it opens up a lot of space to where so many different people from so many different aspects of life can all feel connected to the music in one way or another and can all come together with different respect and appreciation for the songs, even if those are all rooted from different places.
What's it like behind the kit, JP?
JP, we've had some great answers. This better be deep and introspective and beautiful. I'm just saying.
No pressure.
We put you on the spot now.
I love how you leave the drummer for last. It's like, come on, man. Yeah, exactly. Look, I mean, like Paul, I grew up playing and writing as a kid, and the dead was just kind of like that soundtrack of my life kind of growing up in the background. And we played everything from, rock and roll to folk to all this other stuff. And as I got older and started playing in dead bands, I think the difference I would say between like what we do and other things I've done is like you get in that band where they're like the cymbal crash should be on that beat and the downbeat should be over here. And like they become so locked into like that one version of the song that it makes it no fun anymore. And I think like what the design of the music is set up is just like guide rails. Right. Like they give you the format. They tell you, OK, go at your own tempo, go at your own pace. You want to swing it out. You want to jazz it out. You want to make it a rock tune. Like it gives you so much elasticity to play with. And I think Paul hit the nail on the head when he talked about like the nuances. Right. As a drummer, like Kreutzmann is probably the most underrated rock drummer on the planet. Like if you think about what he was doing in all the off tempo 11s and 7s and, it could go endlessly. He and Mickey wrote some of the most complicated tempos that are still played in progressive rock today. Like, that to me is why I like playing this music, is because like when we play Warfret, like we go from like a slow groove to a swing tempo to an off tempo progressive moment to like, and it just builds and then it crashes, and it just being able to be sit behind the kit and drive that crescendo every time we play is just epic, because you see the people in the crowd. One, the bass is moving their hips. I'm the reason their feet are moving. And their heads are bopping because of the tempo. And then as it comes up and down, it's like you can just control the crowd, man. That's the greatest feeling on the planet.
Yes,
good answer, John.
Yeah, actually, yeah,
was that a good one?
Well, you kind of nailed it. There was a high bar.
For someone that's missing half of their pinky, that was a pretty good response.
It's not half. It's like a quarter. And I went from bandage to Band-Aid today, so I'm graduating.
Wait, hold on. Someone in a dead band is missing part of their finger?
I am, yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
Come on.
Take it that seriously.
Yeah. Listen, man, I'm dedicated.
That's commitment. Like,
yeah, right?
Oh, but what you mentioned about like Wharf Rat, how it starts here and ends there, that is one of my favorite things about the Grateful Dead music and their songs. Like you can start one song one way and you're just brought on this whole epic journey where you, the song ends and you're like baffled by how it started and where it brought you to. I've never really experienced that type of journey throughout a song the way that I have with Dead songs. And it's just, infatuating.
We did a version last night, just practice, of Comes a Time, which is just a beautiful ballad, right, that Garcia wrote in the early 70s and performed, you know, two or three times a year towards the end. Maybe it was a special tune, and it's not that the song's so hard. I mean, you'd appreciate this, John. It's that the slower the song is, one, more emphasis on the open space, right? It's not the notes you're playing, it's the notes you're not playing.
Oh, yeah. Playing slow is hard. Playing slow is really hard.
And this one is epically slow. Like, so every note matters, right? And so we did that, and it focuses on the vocals, and it's super dynamic, and it's got a got a couple moments in it where it builds and then it shuts down again. And you know, when we got done with that, I'm like, there's not a lot of bands that try that song, because not that they don't like it and not that they couldn't play it. It's super hard to pull off and sound legitimate. You know what I mean? We have a 32 track recorder we use in our studio now. And so we're getting like studio quality cuts every single week. And I got home that night, and I was up to 1 a.m. last night mixing it, because it was that good. Like, I was like, wow.
You gonna let me play some of that this weekend?
Sure.
That's the thing too. Like, these guys, they tackle songs that are scary, like very exposed, just like Comes a Time, or we did She Belongs to Me. At our Streamproof Circle of Care.
Sure.
And that's a very intimidating song, not for obvious reasons. Like you said, it's just very simple. It's a very simple song, but it's just so exposed. And
yeah, you are exposed. That's the great, great, great word.
Mm-hmm. But we do it well.
Right. Right.
There's Maria.
Yeah.
There we go.
There is Maria. Maria. Maria, who put this all together.
Yeah,
she was a business manager, and she heard it, so she was excited about that.
yeah. So I mean, you know, the reason you guys came on this show tonight, though, was really to talk about this, to talk about the show that you're doing next Friday at the Bijou Theater, which is, you know, being done. It's a Save Our Stages event, and tell me about it. Tell me about what the goals are. Tell me about how it happens. Tell me about what you hope to get out of it.
Paul, you want to take it away? Or
marketing team will take that. You too.
Sure. I mean, first of all, the place, the Bijou Theater. What an unbelievable place.
Beautiful.
122 years or something. Somebody keep me honest here.
112.
Wow.
They used to host vaudeville. If I could swing this camera around, I could show you some pictures of my grandfather, who used to play in vaudeville. I'm pretty sure he played there. He played all the places up and down the coast, right? So the history there is just unbelievable. So when we were thinking about, well, where would we go? Where would we, you know, try to help out? One of the first places that came to my mind, and I think the other guys as well, was let's go back to the Bijou and see if we can't help out. And they were super willing to do it, super accommodating. And what we're going to be doing is we're going to be bringing in some special technology that we had tried out. And this particular version of it is even better than what we had done before, which is it's going to be recorded in 8K. You've heard of 4K, this is 8K. So it's going to be super high quality. We're going to be live streaming that on the 15th from the Bijou Theater. And we've got some other plans for how we might use that content later on.
Mm. Yeah, you can stream live in 8K. But you can record in 8K. So these ideas that Paul's talking about are to potentially use that material in further ways to further this cause, right? And say the whole Save Our Stages thing was super meaningful, John, because, you know, this pandemic has obviously been a tragedy for people's lives and families, but certain industries, you know, have been just decimated. And certainly the live music industry is one of those. And we just thought, look, we're fortunate enough to have day jobs. And in our ability to help out, you know, we said, let's do this, because, you know, it's important that when this world gets back to normal, we have a place to go, you know? And I think, you know, working with Gary and doing everything we can, getting what we think is a really unique form of technology to help enable our fans to see us in a good light, and then helping out as much as we can is awesome. And look, we've done stuff in the past with other really wonderful charities, and we'll continue to do that. We're going to do something here in February or March, potentially with another one. But this is really close to our hearts, because it's about what we want to, you know, do for fun over the next 20 years of our lives. And if there's no years to do it, you know, it doesn't matter. So yeah.
I think it's important to point out too, it's like, you know, everything that's going on in the stratosphere of like this effort, right, is happening in places outside of our home, you know, and state outside of state even. So to be able to do something locally and really affect our local partners and our local friends who own these places is critical. You know, like it's what we can do in our own backyard that's going to make the difference, not so much what we can do in somebody else's. So I think, you know, this is hopefully one of many things that we can do moving forward, to Jeff's point. Like, we've got a couple other things on the horizon we're looking forward to. But, you know, like you said, if we don't do it now, then there's no place to go when we all wake up from this thing. So.
Right. And I was saying that just the other day is, you know, people are saying, you know, vaccines, oh, it's great. And this is good. And this, and it is good. It is great.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's not going to be effective until the summertime, and by then it could be too late, and that's just the way it is.
We all
probably can, you've heard, there's already, they're not rumors anymore, there's a bunch of places that are just not going to reopen, and that makes me so sad on so many levels, you know.
A bunch of places, you know, a couple places that I know is near and dear to all of our hearts, not to mention any names the air. But I think it's great that you guys are doing this. Ticket sales going to directly to the Bijou.
There's a split. You know, it's an economic split that our technology vendors are part of. We're part of, and the Bijou is. And so we're making it right, and we're donating a big portion of our split as well. So, you know, it's all good. Everything's good about this. So
beautiful.
And I feel very lucky to be a part of this with these guys, who make such a difference for a community that has welcomed me so deeply. So,
well, I mean, you guys are all. Oh, I'm sorry, Paul. Go ahead. Yeah.
I was just gonna say, it's not our first run at charities. Circle of Care, another local charity we did earlier in the year, and then was it last year?
Rex Foundation. Yeah,
that was. We did a whole run for them, which culminated at.
Fenway.
Right.
Fenway Park. Yeah, that's right.
Garcia, Trixie.
Yeah.
That was awesome.
That is awesome, man. And I mean, I do. I think it's great. I think it's great what you guys are doing. You hear about people all over the place, not just here in CT, you know, trying to put events like this together. And it's important. I say at the end of every show, you know, to support live and local music in your community. And that's what this is. You know, and so if you're interested, and you want to go to this, you know, the link is right down there. You can't click on it, but you can screenshot it real quick.
Good idea.
Type it in. And I mean, the Bijou Theater is incredible, and Terrapin is incredible. And it's been incredible talking to you guys. Thank you so much for coming on and doing this. I really appreciate it. Before we get out of here, any plugs, anything you guys got coming up, anything you want to talk about? Put out there.
You want to talk about New Jersey?
Sure, why not?
Yeah.
You know, so some of these places are opening in a way that are COVID friendly. You know, we're starting to see that, where they, you know, wall off areas, or they take an audience and they segment them into twos and threes and twos. So there's a theater called the Landis Theater, which is doing a lot of tribute bands, a lot of bands of our kind of ilk of various forms. And it's in Vineland, New Jersey, And so on February 5th, we'll be down there doing actually a live show in front of people. I know they're kind of doing that. That's starting to become a thing, and we're going to give them a try as well.
Oh, yeah. There's ways to make it happen. There's ways to do it.
There definitely are. And we're, look, we're in the process of putting our 2021 schedule together. We've already got, I think, six dates are already rebooked or in total booked. Yeah. We've got literally dozens in the hopper now. Our business manager Maria and our booking agent are working hard on that. And I think you nailed the issue, John. It's the when, right? So I think we're all sort of like, we're trying to book out from, let's say, June, July on, and if we're lucky enough to have the earlier part available to us, we're pretty confident we'll get a few dates there. But the goal is 25 more shows this year would be awesome, and let's do a big year and then head into 2022. You know, in a normal world. And as I said, we're starting to write some pretty cool originals, so. Getting those out in the over the year is going to be a fun part of that.
Yeah,
I'm excited to hear them, man. And maybe, just maybe, we might be hearing some Terrapin this Sunday at 9 p.m. on 95.9 The Fox when we play an hour of local music from right here in Connecticut. But Terrapin, thank you guys so much for coming. And please, if you're out there, if you want to support an incredible local venue here in Bridgeport, here in CT. Go check it out. It's a live stream from the Bijou Theater. It's on January 15th. You can go to terrapinband.com for details. You can go to their Facebook page, Instagram at Terrapin Band. Yeah, guys, thank you again.
Thanks, John. Really enjoyed it.
Absolutely. Stick around for a second. We'll talk after I end the broadcast. But for people watching at home, thank you. Make sure you listen this Sunday at 9 p.m. on 95.9 The Fox. You'll be able to hear some music from Terrapin and a bunch of other local Connecticut bands. If you don't live in Fairfield County, you can go to 959thefox.com. Support live and local music in your area, please. And I'll see you next time.